wrestling match going on up here. All right, hey, it's good to have you all with us today. It's fun to have babies, huh? It is fun to see them running around. Fun to have, and I apologize again for Justin's comment. That was really amazing. So anyway, this may be over the top too, but just to put less pressure on Justin for his comment, I will say this. I was in a meeting, in a revival meeting like of the 90s when the revival stuff was really, I don't know, it's kind of getting a little out of hand, but in my opinion, my humble opinion, but I was in this, and this old revival preacher was talking about the presence of God, and he was really going off, and he was spitting and sweating, and he was going crazy with it, and he was shouting at us, and he said, "And when the Holy Spirit comes, it's better than sex." And everybody just, ooh, I guess. So anyway, so never mind. there's no recovery. So we have had a lot of stuff happening at the new campus, like Justin was saying, and we have an easel back there and a whiteboard with some different tasks that are happening this week. So we'll try to keep that list current. And last week we had bunches of people showing up. It was awesome. Almost every day and or every night there was a crew coming in to do a specific task that was kind of in order of what needed to be done next. And it's been really, really great having all of you people show up. So I appreciate your help. It's moving much, much quicker as a result of great participation. So things have been actually, again, if you look at it, it looks worse now than it did, but it's all in the progression. It has to get torn down so that it can get built back up. So the work will proceed as planned this week. And if you want to be a part of that, just go back there, and Erme will be back there, and she'll get your name on the list, and she'll give you more details about every task. Some of the tasks that we have are technical in nature, like you actually have to know which end of the hammer to use, that kind of thing. And others are just, we just need strong backs, weak minds, show up, and we're good with you, okay? And if you would do that, that would be terrific as well. You have to choose which you are, though. You know, you have to, which end of that spectrum you're on. All right. We are in the third week of a series called This Is Normal. And This Is Normal is about the church. It's about what does a church look like that is normal. And whenever you say what's normal, it kind of is relative, isn't it? What is normal compared to what? Well, we're looking at what is normal compared to what the Bible says. And so we're just going through what the Bible says the church should be all about. And a lot of this comes out of the book of Acts. Some of it comes through the Pauline epistles and all that kind of writing. But a lot of it is just coming right out of the book of Acts, just a narrative of what the church has been like, especially the early church, which was not really tainted by a lot of the digression that we've seen throughout history of the church. A lot of people don't have fond feelings of the church. Maybe the church has hurt you. Maybe the church has done some things that have not been real positive in your eyes, but that is not God's intention whatsoever. God has every best interest at heart when he's talking about the church, that every person could have an experience through the church that builds them in their faith, that grows them toward full maturity in Christ. Those are the kinds of experiences we're to have in church. If that hasn't been yours, I'm really sorry for that. But the church is full of people as well, and people tend to be sinful, and people tend to make mistakes. And so that probably has had some effect on why the church has a bad rap regarding their past histories. What we're looking at today, last week we looked at this idea that we devote ourselves, just like they did in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says, starts right off the verse by saying, "And they devoted themselves." Talking about the idea that we are the ones that determine, are we going to be devoted to the cause of Christ or are we not? Are we going to be involved, fully involved, or are we going to be spectators as to what's going on in the work of God? And God would have each of us to play a vital role in the extension of the kingdom, in the moving forward of the church into society, influencing communities for Christ, standing alongside those who are hurting so that the love of Christ can infect them and affect them for the better. And so we talked about that last week, and one of the aspects of that verse, and we're going to read it here right when we first start off, is that there's specific things that they devoted themselves to, and we're going to talk about one of those today. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Now, when people devote themselves, we can devote ourselves to all kinds of things, but it says that these people devoted themselves to those four specific aspects, and we're talking about prayer specifically today, that when we devote ourselves to God, we're devoting ourselves not to an amorphous thought or feeling, not an ethereal sense of there is a God out there, but we're devoting ourselves to God the Father, God himself, the one who can be known. And we devote ourselves to him, and one of the best ways that we can get to know him is through prayer. Now, has anybody ever heard of this idea of prayer before in this room? Okay, I know this is a huge challenge because there's such a big topic and you don't know anything about it, right? No, everybody knows about prayer. Everybody has an understanding. In fact, in America, over 80% of the people say they pray regularly. I don't even know. Most of them aren't even Christians, but they're praying to something, and maybe they're just having happy thoughts, and that, I don't know, maybe that makes them feel bad. I don't know, but many people pray, and the Bible encourages us to pray, and this teaching is so large, there's no way that we're going to get comprehensive in it today. In fact, we're not really going to talk about it all that much. We're actually going to do more prayer than talk about prayer. And so I'm going to talk for just a short while, and that's how you know that preachers are usually lying. But I'm going to talk about it for a short while, and then we're going to have some of the ministry leaders come up here, and they're going to lead you in prayer over the specific areas that their ministry involves, okay? So we're going to do prayer more than we're going to talk about prayer, but I want to set a little bit of a framework for that because I feel like it's necessary if we're going to be moving forward in prayer. Here's what we're talking about specifically is not necessarily you as an individual being one who prays. We're talking, although that is certainly involved and certainly necessary, but what we're really talking about today is as a corporate body, as a church, as a family of Christ, that we are a people of prayer, that we are a church of prayer, that prayer isn't something that we do alongside everything else, but it is a forerunner of everything that we do, that it isn't just one of those aspects of church life, but it is the most important thing that begins our day and ends our day, that our times are set by prayer. And if we understand the necessity of it, that is not a stretch for us. It's not a big deal. How many of you would have the freedom to say, yeah, my prayer life struggles a bit? Anybody? It's a little awkward to admit that when you're in church. You know, you feel like a lightning bolt's going to come down and bam, right there, you're going to get zapped or something. But I'm one who, I struggle sometimes with prayer. And sometimes it's not my first inclination. It's not my natural thing. It's bam, hit my knees, go to prayer. My inclination is let's do something about it. Let's get something done. And it's hard to move beyond the self-reliance and the independence to move toward a dependency upon God. But in the church, as a corporate entity, as a body of Christ, we must be people of prayer. It has to be that prayer sets our agenda. It isn't one of the items on our agenda. It is the agenda setter. This is what we must do if we're going to be people who are effective at moving the kingdom of heaven forward on this earth. The early church was a church of prayer. This was normal. It's not an aberration. It was normal for them. And all through the book of Acts, all through the epistles, you see over and over again that people turn to prayer, not as a last resort, but as a first resort. At the onset of big projects, prayer happened. We see this over and over again. Even in Acts chapter 1, in verse 12 through about 14 or 15, it talks about the disciples gathered in an upper room along with Mary and a couple other devout followers, just a few of them, but it says they devoted themselves to prayer. This was before the Holy Spirit had come. This was before the great outpouring in Acts chapter 2. It says they devoted themselves to prayer. We see in Acts chapter 2 then, again, the whole church, over 3,000 believers at that point in time, said they devoted themselves to prayer. We see in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John had just been arrested for preaching the gospel and for doing miracles, and they were taken to prison, they were roughed up a bit, and they were released. And when they got released, they went back to the place, it says, where the people were gathered for prayer. And they came together, and everybody was joyful about the release of the prisoners. But even more so, they said, it says that they got on their knees, and they prayed that God would not, oh God, keep us safe, but that God would give us boldness to preach the gospel. God, would you open doors? Would you give us access to people's hearts and lives so we can preach the gospel? It wasn't an aberration. It wasn't a weird little thing that they did. It wasn't an activity on an outline. It was what they were. It was a culture. It was an atmosphere. And the church of this day and age, we need to have that as a very, very preeminent thought, not as an afterthought, but this needs to be preeminent, that we are people of prayer, that when needs arise, even before needs arise, we are people who call on the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know about you, but I take much satisfaction in doing stuff and getting things done and seeing results happen as a result of labor. I like to work. Kind of boring that way. So if I see a flower bed blanketed with weeds, I take great satisfaction in working, taking all that stuff out of there, putting it off to the side, and being done with the work and taking a step back and going, whoa, wow, that looks pretty good. Look at that. Did something. If there's a huge stack of paperwork, I like to rifle through it, chuck stuff done, get everything dispatched. We're good to go. It's awesome. Get organized. Go in my shop. I like to tinker. I like to build things. So I build stuff, take a look back. Oh, look what we did. Yeah, that was awesome. The reason that prayer is so hard sometimes is because we don't get that immediate satisfaction. You can't step back and say, oh, look all we did in prayer today. You can remember a lot of the words you spoke, but not very often is there immediate results that happen as a result of prayer. And as a result of being invisible, prayer is difficult for us because we're devoting ourselves to this thing that shows no immediate results. It gives us no immediate satisfaction in that we can't see anything, but he's asking us to do it. It's just the invisible stuff's harder. It's harder to do. If we understand that, then we have to get beyond the idea of the immediacy of the visibility of it all. We have to go to the invisible realm. If we get that, then it changes the way we look at stuff. In 1 Corinthians chapter, or 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, it says, we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The things that we invest in that are invisible are the ones that have the most value, is what he's saying. If we invest into things that we see, we know that that is not going to be permanent. It's not eternal. It's temporary. It's transient. Everything that you can set your hands to on this plane that we live in now is temporary, and it's going to burn up. But he says, every word we utter in prayer in the invisible realms, the spiritual realm, those things are going to last. And that just doesn't make sense to a lot. It's so counterintuitive that we would think spending some time in prayer would be more beneficial than actually going out and doing something, getting actual something done with our hands. But that's the way the economy of God is set up. That great value is attached to this idea that we're dealing with the invisible, that we're dealing with something that is not seen, but it's definitely eternal. It's hard to get that sometimes. The other part of it that's hard for us to deal with is, and this bucks way back into our culture, the idea of dependency on God. Now, we are an independent people, and we like independent people. We like to be independent, and the more the longer we live in this culture, the more independent we get. We get to the point where I don't want anybody around me. I don't need anybody around me. I can be totally, everything I ever wanted is self-contained within me. And so as we are independent people, being a dependent people feels like weakness. But when we pray, it's exactly what we're saying. We're saying, God, I can't do this. I am so dependent upon you. I can't do this on my own. I need help. I am not sufficient in and of myself. You are all sufficient, and I will look to you for your sufficiency. And that's a difficult step for us. But that's exactly what he calls us to do. And as a people of God, we need to be the first ones to set that tone, saying, God, we're going to turn to you in every facet of life. Every facet of this mission that you've sent us on is in your hands, and we're looking to you for your help. I know that's tough for us, but it must be done if we're going to move forward. Sometimes praying together seems kind of fruitless because it's just a lot of words. Sometimes you can't see those results, and so you just don't have the sense that anything is happening. But understand this. At some point in our future, whether it's soon or years down the road, we will be in heaven. Those of you who are believers in Jesus Christ will be in heaven. And as that revelation is made to us as to what the value of eternal things is, we're going to see every bit of value that was attached to the words that we spent in prayer. We're going to be able to see the outcome of our prayer. We may not be able to see it now. Sometimes we do see it now. We pray for something and the need gets met, or something happens that's way beyond what could possibly happen normally, and we go, oh my goodness, God is in this place. And sometimes we see that. But there, a great majority of our stuff that we pray for are things that we would never know the answer to. We would never know the results of. But at some day in the future, we are going to see, God's going to unveil eternity before us, and we're going to be able to see all that we have done in prayer. And at that point in time, you're going to want to have this time back that we spent in prayerlessness. We will want to have a time that we could just say, God, if I would have only known the value of praying, I would have done it more. And I don't think we want to live our lives full of regret like that. I think we want to live that looking forward, saying, God, I know you attach value to these words that I'm saying. I know that when we're in communication like this, that there is great stuff happening, not necessarily in this realm, but in the realm that I cannot see. And if that's the case, then I want to be a person who devotes myself to prayer. We must be people that see beyond this realm and see beyond our own sufficiency. E.M. Bounds was a preacher of the 18 and 1900s. He wrote volumes on prayer. This is just one quote that I pulled out of some of his stuff that I just love. He says, "The life of the church is the highest life, and its office is to pray. Its prayer life is the highest life, the most fragrant, the most conspicuous. When God's house on the earth is a house of prayer, then God's house in heaven is busy and powerful in its plans and movements. For mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people, says our God. Then his earthly armies are clothed with the triumphs and spoils of victory, and his enemies are defeated on every hand. The very life and prosperity of God's cause, even its very existence, depend on prayer. And the advance and triumph of his cause depend on one thing, that we ask of him." Now, if that doesn't move you to say, oh, man, I want to be a person of prayer, I want to be a part of a church that is a church of prayer, something is not alive in you. Understand that if we are honestly assessing what great value could I add to the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven on this earth today, then there is no greater value that we can attach than that of prayer. Because we're affecting the kingdom in realms that we can't even see or know of, and yet we can speak things into existence that are not. It's crazy that God gives us that kind of influence in the heavenly realms. But he asks us, he commands us, he beseeches us, pray, be people of prayer, be churches of prayer. Your house, he says, this house should be a house of prayer. Each local church should be a house that prays, a house that devotes itself to prayer, a house that understands that without God, without being dependent upon him, we are insufficient for the day. We are. We can have great plans, we can have great strategies, we can have great ideas, and every one of them will fall flat unless there is prayer attached, because the prayer is what brings the power for God to perform. That's a lot of P's, I understand that. But it's reality that if we are going to pray, then we are going to bring into the situation the power of God. And without that, all we're depending on is our own cleverness. Our own strength, our own wits. Is that really, I was just honestly assessing myself and say, man, if I want to rest on my cleverness and my abilities, I'm screwed. There's not a chance that that's going to work. I can get moderate success by doing that, but if God is going to be the one who's engineering the thing, then I have full confidence that God will perform all that he wants to perform. And the way that happens is if his people pray. We must be people of prayer. Now, whenever you talk about prayer, usually about 50% of the heads drop, and usually that's in shame. Like, oh man, I know I should be praying. I'm just not very good at it. I'm just, my schedule's all messed up, and I don't know how very well to pray, and I'm not disciplined. And I know that's, a lot of you in here are thinking, oh man, I feel so guilty. Now he's talking about it, I feel guiltier. It's like, man, I didn't need this today. What I really needed was a sermon on how to be joyful in my miserable condition. No, whatever. But he, God doesn't want to guilt you. He doesn't want to heap this on you. What he wants to do is encourage you to say, hey, I'm your father. I'm your heavenly father, and I want you to speak with me, talk with me, as you would anybody else. But I'm the one who can actually get something done. You have a need? Good, because I'm the one who gets it done. Do you have plans and strategies and movements and all that kind of stuff happening? If that's the truth, then you better get God involved with that, because without him, everything is on us to make it happen, and it's not going to work that well. It's going to be insufficient for the day. We must be people of prayer. We must be a house of prayer. If we get to that point, we can go beyond where we've been in the past. Now, for us as a local church, this is very specific. If you're part of this local church, this is good news for you. If it's not, if you're not part of this local church, then join us and that'd be awesome. But we're moving. This whole thing, we're going to plant a church over about 6 miles away from here in a whole new neighborhood. Now, in and of itself, that seems like, oh, interesting, right? But because I believe that God has inspired this thing and God has pushed us in this direction, I believe it's more than just, oh, yeah, it's a good idea. Makes financial sense. whatever, however you process that. Well, it does all that, but one of the best things about this is I believe that God is the one who orchestrated this whole deal. We tried walking away several times, and there was no way that we could walk away. It just kept coming right back into our face. Like God was saying, hey, what? I'm doing this. Why are you walking away from this thing? And so we said, okay, we kind of reluctantly went into this thing, and now we're in it. I'm super excited. But God is going to do something over there that he wants to move our whole church into, and if things are going to happen over there, it's going to happen not as a result of us being awesome. It's going to happen as a result of his people praying to the awesome God and having God do awesome things. And we just kind of go along for the ride. We're going to be participant. We're going to act out, and we're going to, you know, fully involve and all that kind of stuff, but God is going to make that stuff happen. We've already seen his hand numerous ways in this whole deal just pan out to be way more than we ever wondered or thought it could be. But we have to realize that that didn't come because we're clever. It didn't happen because we're great people. It happened because we serve a really good God. who has a plan for his people to do stuff that will extend his kingdom into the lives of many, many others all throughout this region. And if we're going to be a people who bless this community, who carry the blessing of God with us, then we must be people of prayer. All right? Now, that's not very specific. It's super vague in general. But I want you to get the spirit of this thing so that we can be people who rest in God and rest in the fact that he's the one who's going to do all that he promised he's going to do. It's not about us. All right, so I told you we're going to spend some time praying, and so that's what we're going to do. We're going to have some of the ministry leaders. I've talked to you, ministry leaders, and I want to have the ministry leaders come up here, and I want you to just kind of sit in the front or something, just be close. And we're going to have each one lead in a specific area of prayer. And what I want you to do is I want you to agree in prayer together, and I want you to understand one of the best things that happens in prayer is we get the passion behind the prayer when we are a part of a prayer meeting. We understand, what is the heartbeat of this house? What is this church all about? Well, you're going to hear about that as we pray, because the prayers of the people express the passions of the heart. And this local church is no different. And so we're going to have the leaders pray and in their specific areas of leading, and we're going to just agree with them, and then we're going to take a little bit of time, have a little bit more worship time, and then we're going to pray some more. Okay? Does that sound okay? Okay, and if you're looking at your watches, you're still safe. All right? You're okay. All right. Tom, do you want to start off? There you go.
I want to lead us in prayer this morning about the working and the power of the Holy Spirit in us and in the church. And I want to start out before I pray and just tell you that my life as it is right now in my relationship with God has been in no small way affected by my dad's own experience with people like this and the power of the Holy Spirit over 50 years ago. And that was because in a group like this, the Holy Spirit revealed that my dad was suffering from an ailment that was on his life because of a past injury, and it was not going to go away. But God pointed him out in a group like this because of the Holy Spirit, just brought it up. Nobody in the room knew it, but the Holy Spirit knew it. And they prayed for my dad, and he was miraculously healed. Now, I believe that God wants to miraculously and amazingly affect people's lives. And he wants to do it through us, through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. So let's pray for that, can we? Thank you, God. Lord, only you can really, really change lives and affect lives. God, we have it in us sometimes to want to do good. We want to encourage. We want to be helpful. We want to do whatever we can. But really, only you can make change. Only you have answers. And God, you have provided not only your word that brings truth, your word that we can read that gives us guidance, but you've also empowered us. You've given us your Holy Spirit, God, to guide our ways, to guide our voices, Lord, to reveal things that we would not know otherwise, God, to give us faith that is beyond us. And God, we want to be a people of faith. We want to be a people of your Holy Spirit. We want to be agents of change in this world. And God, we want to offer ourselves to you, that you would fill us up. God, that you would fill us up with your presence, with your inspiration, with your Holy Spirit, with your gifts that you've given, God, to touch people's lives, to affect change, to extend your kingdom. God, so I pray for us that we would welcome your presence, that we would welcome your Holy Spirit, that we would say as individuals, Holy Spirit, come, fill me up. Fill me up. Empower me with what I do not have. Fill me up, God, with your wisdom. Fill me up, God, with your faith. Fill me up, Lord, with your prophetic words that can bring change, because only your word can bring the change. Only your word can heal. And Lord, we need you. So we say, come. We say, come, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, into our lives. Come into our church. Come in among us and allow us, God, to be partnered with you in this thing that you call your kingdom that is being extended into people's lives. Thank you, Lord.
Denny, why don't you come up? Denny heads up our Celebrate Recovery, and asked him to come pray for that.
First, I'm honored and privileged to have this time in front of a great church like this. I want to welcome all the visitors here today that came for the baby dedication. And relax, you know, we're a church that just loves God, you know, with all of our heart, all of our minds, all of our souls. And you've come into a place that is Spirit-filled. I believe that. And I want to congratulate and compliment all the men who prayed for their babies and the grandparents who prayed for their babies today. You know, any prayer that is spoken is true. It was just a conversation with God, and I was really impressed with all the words that came from all the fathers, all the grandparents. So first, I want to congratulate and compliment the men who stepped up and did that today. That was excellent. And I come as a witness. I was a wretch. I was a sinner. I still am. And I've been changed by God. And so on Wednesday nights, we come together as a team to grow as a Christian. I read my life recovery Bible. That's what I'm recovering from, is from life. And so I'm going to pray to challenge everybody here to seek their hearts. So Father God, I come before you with this privilege, with this honor. And I know, God, that we have a strong team on Wednesday nights, and I want to pray individually for each person on that team that as leaders we grow, we crave you, Lord God. We follow you with all of our hearts and our minds and our souls. We are all like clay, Lord God, and remold us and shape us into a better leader and a better representation of you. My prayer right now is for other people who have not yet come to that place to say, I need your help. And in Psalm 139, we say, search us, O God, and test us, and know our hearts. And if there is anything in us that's not pleasing to you, Lord, you know, replace that with your power, the blood. And I just know, God, that all of us are sinners. All of us need you. And I just challenge specifically anybody here who wants to work on their smoking, work on their language, work on their eating, work on their prescription drugs, work on their sexual misconduct, Lord God. I just pray for those things in particular that they come to you, Lord God, and if willing, stop by on Wednesday nights at 6, and there's some people that'll meet you with a loving, kind, and generous heart to just wrap their arms around you, because those of us that are leaders, we've been through it, and we know what it feels like. And I just pray, God, in your name, Jesus, that people will search their own hearts and know that they want to be more holy and pleasing to you. And Jesus, that's my prayer for me and for everybody, is I want to be more holy and more pleasing to you, Lord God, and be a better representation of Jesus in all parts of my life. Amen.
That's good. I've asked David to come. David heads up our children's ministry, and been doing an awesome job. We have seen kids' lives changed and affected, and in the whole process, what we see is whole families begin to change because children are starting to draw their parents toward Christ. It's crazy stuff, but David, why don't you pray?
Father, we thank you so much, God, that you've just blessed us here, Lord God. I thank you, God, that you have brought children here, Lord, and that you care about them too, Lord God. They are a part of your kingdom as well. And God, I pray that we would have that same vision you have for these kids, Lord God, that we would be the impact in their lives, Lord, that you've given us, Lord God. You've given us all opportunities to to share you with them, Lord, and to show them who you are, God. And I just pray that we would, as a church, begin to show all those children around us how much you love them and how much you desire for them to be with you. And God, I pray that, God, that we would just go out into this community in Graham here, Lord God, and the surrounding communities. And I pray, God, we would take your word to these children, Lord God, and that you would just bring them in, Lord God, and you would hold them close, and you would draw them to yourself, Lord God. And that we would see the future generation of this place, Lord God, your future kingdom coming through these children, Lord God, from the unborn, Lord, all the way up to those who are in school, Lord God. I pray that you would just continue to work among them in this place, Lord, and that you would just bring joy to their hearts, Lord God, no matter what situation they're in, no matter who they've been born into, Lord God, that they would be that light that you want in the household, Lord God, and that we would see whole families, Lord God, come to you. We just thank you so much, Lord God, that you have a purpose and a plan for your children. Amen.
Thanks, Dave. Justin, why don't you come? Justin is our community pastor. He runs Harvest House Food Pantry and is involved in the community and different outreach programs, especially with the Bethel School District.
All right, hey, let's pray. Thank you, God, that you have given us a mission, Lord, that you said in your word, Lord, you said to go and to make disciples. God, you've called us ambassadors of you. Lord, that we are ministers of reconciliation. God, I pray that we are those things to our community. God, I pray that we do go out into the community, that we reflect you well. God, I pray for the programs that we have here at this church, Lord, that are geared towards reaching those that are hurting, reaching those that are broken. God, I pray that you help us, Lord, empower us to be able to continue to reach into the community. God, at an even deeper level, Lord, that we wouldn't just be meeting basic needs, but God, that we would be fully reflecting you in every way. God, I pray for bridges across the community to be built. Lord, I pray that we're able to get into people's lives, Lord, maybe who would never feel comfortable stepping into a church. And God, I just ask, Lord, that all of us here would be great ministers of reconciliation. God, that we would help to bring justice, that we'd help to bring healing. And God, that we would reflect you well to this area that you've put us in, wherever that might be, God. I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hey, why don't we all stand up for a minute? We're going to continue praying just in a second, but let's sing this song.